NBA Straya. How you going? That's right, man. It is NBA Straya. It is Wednesday, August 22. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull, The Brooklyn Game, and a bunch of other places that want to pay me money. And I'm here hanging out in Larryama Studios, New York City, New York, making sure you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball, even in the NBA offseason. Just while repping Straya a little bit, mate. That's what we do. That's what we do here. So today's show, this week's show, we're joined by a very special guest. It's Matt O'Gorman from British India. My guy. Also from the Hoops podcast back home in Australia. So Matt and I have a huge old chat for you guys, covering a massive amount of NBA offseason stuff. We're talking LeBron and the Lakers, the outlook for his New York Knickerbockers of New York City, all the offseason moves and trades, Kawhi, Boogie, all the good stuff, as well as covering up all Australian NBA players and some predictions for 2018. It's awesome. It's a great chat with another massive NBA head. So let's get stuck in. Enjoy the chat with Matt from British India and Hoops podcast. It's NBA Australia. It's episode 154. Let's go.
Oi, 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 it's old mate Dally over here. That's right, Matty Dellavedova. And you're listening to NBA Straya.
All right, and as promised, I'm here with Matt from the Hoops podcast. And this is going to be awesome. We're going to do a wicked sort of NBA offseason wrap, talk some shit about the NBA, all the good stuff. Matt, how you going, mate?
How are you, legend? What's happening in the Big Apple?
Oh, you know, just eight Puerto Rican dudes staring me down from across the street as they're building the brownstone opposite us. It's been this fucking crazy process. There's like usually one Russian and like eight Puerto Ricans staring at me every morning. It's great.
Oh, man. Are you enjoying the off-season as much as I am, man? How have these trades been, right?
I'm bored as hell at the moment, and I really wish we had like a Kyrie trade like we did last year to really sort of elongate this shit.
Wouldn't that be good?
Because this week is about the anniversary of the Kyrie trade, and everyone's like, oh, cool, something happened, and we got like another 2-3 weeks out of it, and then it got us straight into basically preseason and camp and stuff. So I dig it, but at the moment, it's a bit of doldrummy kind of.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Well, we're enjoying your daily posts that you're putting out at the moment, man. We're loving that back here in Oz.
Nice. So tell us about Hoops Podcast. So you're doing video stuff like that as well.
Yep.
It's you and Mike, right?
Yeah, it's me and Mike. So Mike and I are good friends, always chatted NBA kind of thing. And I had a local radio show and my co-host couldn't make it for whatever reason. I said, Mike, do you want to come in and just have a chat? And anyway, we just, you know, started talking about basketball. We're supposed to be talking about music, but we just started talking about basketball. And then we kind of said, hey, we should do this again. And he came in and we did a couple of NBA basketball shows. And then we said, oh, why don't we just start a Facebook page? Because at this time, which was probably about 2 years ago, we didn't really know anybody else that was into the NBA at that time. Like, it wasn't how it is now where everybody's into the NBA. So we thought, let's just start a page. We'll put some videos out and see if we can get a response and, you know, kind of build up a little community of people back here in Australia who want to talk ball. And so we did it, and you know, it just kind of kicked off, especially after, you know, Patty Mills, Aaron Baines started playing, and then of course Ben Simmons. That kind of just took it to another level. And yeah, now we do it, you know, we try to post videos 3 or 4 times a week, and like your podcast, man, we just kind of we're kicking along, and it's just a lot of fun more than anything.
That's awesome. And I mean, the reason that we know each other is because you are also in British India and I for many, many, many years and have written about British India as a fucking writer, which is hilarious.
We actually met at the Duke of Windsor, I think in 2003.
That is absolutely fucking wild.
We might have even been watching Jet, dude.
I'm pretty sure we might have been.
Before Jet got signed. I think that's where we met. And, Yeah, dude, it's been a long time since those days.
Yeah, some heady times back then as well. Everyone just sort of going, hey, are these guys really good or is it just us? And then suddenly there's like nothing but coked up models and shit everywhere and you're like, what the fuck is happening? Yeah, it's good times.
Exactly, man.
Nice one. All right, so you're also a Knicks fan, right?
Unfortunately, I love the Knicks. It's been a hard run, but all of my kind of sporting teams who I follow have been cursed up until recently. Like Richmond Tigers, of course, they've suddenly started playing well, winning a grand final last year. And Liverpool in the Premier League have, you know, getting better as well. So I'm hoping that that luck rubs off on the Knicks. But looking at the list and the injuries, I don't know if it's going to happen anytime soon. You know what I mean?
Might not be the 2018-19 season.
Nah, man.
So what actually, you know, what made you a Knicks fan growing up?
Well, I noticed that, you know, everyone was either a Chicago fan or a Lakers fan, you know, and you'd know that we weren't getting a lot of NBA in Australia then. So it was pretty much, you know, the Jordan's Bulls turning into the Kobe and Shaq Lakers. And I managed to catch a game. I don't know how, but I remember somehow it came on a TV where there was a New York Knicks game playing. And it was like Allen Houston, Latrell Sprewell, awesome. Those days. So, you know, and I watched a game at the Garden and it kind of reminded me of a football match, you know, like the passion that all of those fans had. It was almost like watching Real Madrid versus Barcelona at the Bernabeu, you know, like every call was a big call, you know, and there was so much passion at Madison Square Garden. And so I guess I was initially kind of drawn to that and the fact that it wasn't the Lakers or the Bulls.
Yeah.
So I kind of felt, you know, I was the only guy going for the Knicks, you know. And so unfortunately I still am. So
and you know, here you are many years later rooting for Enes Kanter.
Yeah, exactly, man.
Dreams come true, man. Dreams come true.
Yeah, man, our star player out with an ACL.
That's a tough one. All right, so in talking Knicks, I mean, are you excited about Kevin Knox? I mean, everyone just lost their fucking minds about him in Summer League.
Yeah, dude. Well, I mean, it's exciting, isn't it? I mean, for those who don't know too much about him, he grew up in Florida. You know, he was a freak high school player, averaged 28 points. Spent a year in Kentucky where he averaged about 15 points, and he was the 9th overall pick. He's just a gun, man. He's got a good shot. He's very versatile. He can handle the ball. It's he plays a lot like Kevin Durant, right? Like he's got those kind of makings. So I guess it's a reason to be excited.
Can you stop with the booing though, Knicks fans? Like I was at that draft and it's just fucking like we get it. It's now kind of funny. But at the same time, it's just a fucking shitty look.
Isn't it, man? Like they're the worst fans. Like I don't associate myself with those kind of fans, but I'm like the friendly Australian fan. But yeah, I absolutely hate it. It's, you know, there's nothing lovable about it at all. But, you know, I'm really hoping that, you know, especially with a coach like David Fizdale, Paul Zingas, players like Enes Kanter, I'm really hoping that Fizdale can create a kind of culture in New York where, you know, players want to play for each other and it's not so cutthroat. I think New York basketball needs to stop taking itself so seriously and just kind of, you know, create a culture that players want to play for them and it's, you know, it's enjoyable to watch because it's so cutthroat in New York. Like, you know, living there.
Yeah.
I mean, if something goes wrong, it's all over the papers, right?
Yeah. It's like, you know, the history is here and like the fans here are incredible. Like once there's like a hint of like even like a dude, you know, the 8th, 9th, 10th dude on the bench, if he shows like a little hint, you know, like, the Knicks fans I know here will be like, oh, dude, did you see like Josh Doxson? He was like, he was lighting it up. And you're like, oh, man, you guys are fucking insane about this, huh? So there's like
Jeremy Lin, man. Jeremy Lin.
Exactly. I was actually here for Lin Sanity and it was, I got to see two of the games at MSG and it was fucking wild.
Man, so, I didn't know that, dude. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was, well, it was actually weirdly enough, just before we moved here, I was over here for South by Southwest over in Austin. And would have been, and then came over here after that. And it was, well, yeah, before or after. It was one of the two. And yeah, managed to catch two Lin Sanity games. I think it was like one was like Toronto and the other one was like fucking Memphis or something. I can't remember. But
man,
it was,
I think he got the game winner against Toronto, didn't he?
I think he had the game winner in Toronto against Toronto.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But the one that I think it was like just getting into really full swing and like the, the crowd was just like really fucking super hyping into it, which was wicked fun to watch.
And then it all fell apart.
And then James Dolan just went, I don't want to pay this guy enough money. It's like, oh, geez.
Man.
But I mean, it's a good point about Fizdale. I think he's going to be a fucking revelation. I think people are going to love him. I think the players are going to love him. Everybody's going to be like, oh, man, Dave knows all the best clubs to go to in New York as well, where they can sort you out on the DL. It's going to be pretty neat.
What I'm hoping is I just hope they don't rush it. You know, like Porzingis has just done his ACL. I just don't want him rushed back in because we need him straight away.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? I feel like the Knicks just really need to rebuild and take their time. Like, it's frustrating, but, you know, it can work.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm hoping happens in New York. It probably won't, but you can pray, right?
Exactly. So when do you actually think the Zinger will be back?
I actually don't know. I mean, what's it going to be? When did he do his ACL? Like,
so it was like was it January, February, or something like that?
Yeah, man. So what's that? That's a year-long injury, and then you throw into account he's over 7 foot. Oh, man. Who knows? I don't know. But like I said before, I just hope they don't rush it because, you know, they need him back on the court desperately, because if he does something else, then it would be such a shame because he's got so much potential.
Yeah, it was like such a weird innocuous injury as well, how he sort of just came down a little bit weird, but nothing like major. And you're like, oh, it might just be a knee sprain. You're like, nope, fucking ACL. You're like, God, why can't we have nice things? What the fuck is going on?
I know, man. It was like when Derrick Rose got injured, you exactly. know?
Same sort of shit. So what's the prediction for the Knicks next? Well, with that in mind, like, I feel like the Zinger should just sit out this year, maybe come back at the very end of the year just to get a little couple of games under his belt.
Yeah.
But do you think they should just fucking tank as hard as they can this year and just go, fuck it, we're going to try to get Zion Williamson or RJ Barrett?
Oh, fuck, man. Why not? I mean, I can't see them making the playoffs. I mean, who knows? Like, I just don't want them to rush things. But on the other hand, I don't know. Who knows if they're going to make any stupid signings throughout the season and trade away? You just don't know. Yeah. But I'm just hoping that players get better. Fizdale kind of sorts it out, and you know, we're looking towards next year, maybe with another big pick. You know, this time next year.
Yeah, I mean, you did sign Super Mario Hezonja, which I was stoked on because I think he's fucking unreal. He's going to be so good for New York. I love it. He's going to be he's going to be the second coming of Danilo Gallinari. Everyone will be like, oh, shit.
Oh, man, I'd love that.
It's the Rooster, Mark II. It's going to be good.
Yeah, dude.
Nice one. So a couple of quick yeah-nahs as well for you then. I mean, do you think like the Knicks will be one of the four worst teams in the NBA? Yeah, nah.
Hoping nah, maybe yeah.
Right. Also, Manu Ginobili, it came out yesterday that Woj is like, he's going to think about retiring. He's going to talk to Pop. We're going to see what happens. What do you reckon? Should he stick around for another year? Yeah, nah?
Yeah. Keep him on for another 5, man. I don't want him to ever retire.
Yeah, it's like staring our own mortality in the face is when Manu fucking retires, Tim retires, Dirk retires, Vince retires. It's like, this kind of hurts. But, you know, everything in its own time, I just kind of... Watching him last year in the playoffs, it's kind of like he can still play. It's just not every game that he's going to bring it, obviously. So I'd keep him around for another year to...
I would. I'll say that's a year.
Nice. And final year. So there's been the giant big ESPN series by Jackie McMullen on mental health, you know, talking to the Morris twins, talking to Kevin Love, DeMar DeRozan. It's obviously good that people are talking about it, but is it a bit weird that they're making a huge deal about it? Yeah, no. Nah.
So what was it? Can you just there's an ESPN series on mental health.
Yeah, it's like it's weird that they're kind of like, oh, we really need to be talking about it. It's like, yeah, no shit. Like, why isn't this just always fucking being talked about?
Totally.
It's bizarre, man. I don't know. Yes. It's like a very American sort of approach to these sort of things, but at the same time, like Australia, like anytime an AFL footballer talks about mental health, a bunch of fuckwits on Twitter are just like, oh, he's fucking weak. Nah, he's fucking weak. Oh, fucking off. Yeah. If I was playing footy, I wouldn't give a shit about that. It's like, all right, you fucking mouth-breathing dipshits. Fuck off.
Yeah, fucking oath, man. Get over it. Must talk about it. I saw a couple of the DeRozan things recently. I mean, and especially after that trade, man. Wasn't that a brutal trade?
It's tough for that poor guy. Holy shit.
Oh, my God. That was brutal.
Yeah, it's your girl breaking up with you after she said she'd marry you. You know, it's tough, man.
Yeah.
It's tough. But yeah, the whole mental health side of these things, like Kevin Love, even the Morris twins and stuff like that, they were really, I think it was Marcus Morris who was talking about the sort of pressure of like coming out of Philly and like the sort of shitty situation they grew up in and sort of just having this kind of doubt and lingering sort of just worry sort of following them everywhere, which was fucking fascinating. It was really cool. It's like, yeah, man, like these stories should just be like everyday stories and this should just be out in the open all the fucking time. It shouldn't be like this giant big, this is our mental health series. We're going to talk about it for this week.
Yeah, you're right, man.
And then what happens, right?
I completely agree with you, dude. Completely agree.
Nice. What about some other off-season stuff? I mean, what was your favorite move of the off-season? We've got LeBron to the Lakers, Boogie to the Warriors, Melo to the Rockets, Kawhi to the Raps, DeMar to the Spurs. I mean, do you have a favorite out of those five?
Look, man, I love LeBron going to the Lakers. You know, it's a match made in heaven. It's exciting to watch him play with a young team. It's exciting to see him in the West. You know, that's something we haven't seen. Rondo, Stevenson, McGee, nice additions. But there isn't really a clear second star player. You know, he had, you know, Wade and Bosch in Miami, Kyrie and Love in Cleveland. So that's going to be interesting. Boogie to the Warriors. I know Mike, the guy I do the hosting with, you know, cracked it quite heavily, mainly because he's still sore from the KD move because he's a massive OKC fan. But, you know, I mean, he's injured too, right? Like he's not going to be back until January. And so that'll be interesting to see. I don't know, man. I thought the Kawhi move was just massive, right? Did you see that coming? I didn't see that coming at all.
Yeah, I just expected that the Spurs would go, ah, fuck it. We'll take the Fultz or whatever Philly can give us. And he'll just end up in Philly. And I'm like, that's going to be fucking great. And then it just never happened. And obviously the Spurs didn't either want Fultz or want any of their packages of like the young dudes. So they're like, fuck it. We want to keep being pretty good. So give us DeMar DeRozan. And the Raptors are like, fucking sure. Are you kidding? Here he is. Fucking take this guy. We're going to get Kawhi. Holy shit. So I didn't see it coming. I don't think too many other people did. I think Woj was talking about how in sort of the day, what was it, the 3-4 days sort of leading up to it, they just sort of leapt to the front of the queue and everyone was kind of like, what the fuck is going on? And then it happened. It was wild.
It's interesting, man. It's like every kind of person I speak to who follows Toronto, we're like, man, I can't believe we got rid of DeRozan. He's been there from the start, blah, blah, blah. Speak to those people that, you know, like 3 weeks later, they've seen Kawhi training. It's like, whoa, well, hang on. This could be all right.
That's it.
You know, they're kind of like, whoa, now the dust has settled. Yeah, we never could quite get there with DeRozan. And now we have Kawhi Leonard who's playing, you know, it's funny how it's kind of turned. I've noticed that. I don't know if you have.
Yeah. And then, well, once the photos of him like training with like LeBron and KD and Chetty Osman popped out the other day and everyone remembered just how big his fucking hands were. Everyone's like, Kawhi with his giant hands. fuck, that's going to be a problem if he's healthy.
Man, what do you think of Melo to the Rockets?
So first off for Melo, I just think he's fucking washed. Like,
oh, mate, he's cooked. So he used to be my favorite player, man. And I like him. But this whole I'm not coming off the bench stuff too, it's just kind of, it's not really painting him in the best light, is it, for the kind of this part of his career?
Not at all. Like if he had sort of been a much better version of like the Vince Carter, like, all right, man, I'm going to just take a fucking little bit of a step back, a little bit more of a step back, a little bit more of a step back. Like he could have played and been fucking really effective until he's like 40. But at the moment, he's like sort of doing the Allen Iverson thing of like, nah, man, I'm a starter. I'm a fucking superstar. And he's going to be out of the league in like 3 years.
Like Dwayne Wade's kind of doing that now, you know, he's kind of,
I feel like Wade's, up. I feel like Wade's, yeah, Wade's body though is just kind of like the thing that really fucked him over. He just can't really get up and do it every game. And it'd be interesting to see if he comes back and sort of comes off the bench and is just like pretty chill in that role, which I think he might be. I don't know. It's kind of weird. But the whole Melo thing, I just don't know if he really, like, he'll fit in Houston because D'Antoni's a fucking offensive genius. And, you know, Chris Paul and Harden will make it work. But he's going to be
defense, man. Defensively.
He's going to be a garbage fire on defense. It's going to be horrible.
I mean, you've gone from having Trevor Ariza, who could play on Durant in those series, you know, like, it's going to be interesting, dude. I can't wait to see it. It's going to be, it's, the West is going to be insane this year. And even the East, dude, it's action packed, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine like D'Antoni going, hey, Mello, all right, you got to check Kevin. Can you just go stop him?
Can you imagine, dude?
Durant's eyes would just get so wide. I mean, we just watched Utah basically fucking destroy Mello every time he was on the court in the playoffs.
Oh, and they did.
It's like, all right, so you reckon this is going to work out well for Houston? I don't fucking think that at all. It's just kind of gross. But, I mean, they didn't have many other options. And, I mean, sure, this is like the best of a bad set of options. So why not, I guess, roll the dice, see how he goes.
I mean, here's the thing about good players. You want to see them playing well, and he's so due to have a good season. But there's something when you watch Carmelo, it's just like he doesn't want it enough or something, right? It just seems like there's this kind of arrogance that's there instilled in him that he just can't do what's needed to be done. Like, he needs to become a better defensive player, and people have been saying that for years, but it just doesn't happen, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I can't really ever trust a guy who's got like a Marvin the Martian tattoo on his shoulder. It's just a bit weird because we actually got to, as part of like a Vice thing over here in New York,
yeah,
when Mello was still here, we got to go, he hosted like a party.
No way.
At his sort of weird underground gym, which is like half a block away from MSG. And it was kind of like, it hit me about like maybe 45 minutes in there. He's got like, you know, a couple of basketball courts and like a giant fucking huge big TV thing and like these, all these leather lamps. He's got his own little barbershop in there and shit as well. It was wild. Yeah. But it took me a while and then I realized that on the walls were like all these paintings of like Looney Tunes characters.
That's odd.
And I'm like, that's fucking weird. Come on. Like, that's pretty fucking strange to be really, really. Like, I get into a lot of things. I'm into a lot of shit. I got that sort of personality. But Looney Tunes seems like a fucking weird one, right?
Doesn't it? Hey, did you try and step into the, was there anyone manning the barbershop? Did the
yeah, dude, we've got photos of me and my boy Tim sitting in the barbershop chair going, like on my phone, like going, I'm a business man.
So what happened after that? So Carmelo hosted a Vice party. Did you get to meet him?
So he was like doing glad handing. I quickly shook his hand because buddy of mine like was doing communications PR for Vice, and so I think this was like part of his Vice Sports series that he did a while back, like maybe 3-4 years ago when he was still in New York. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, I've seen that. I saw that. That was really good.
Yeah, the series itself was great. It was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And anyway, so quickly back to LeBron. I mean, what would you have done if you were LeBron? Talking about, you know, like you know,
good question,
fits
man,
and all that sort of stuff. Like, what would you have done if you were him?
Look, I don't know. I would have liked to have seen him in Philly, but part of me wants to see Philly do it themselves without him, if you know what I mean. Look, man, I don't know. That's a really good question. I'm kind of a bit stumped. I thought he would go there. I thought potentially Houston as well would have been a good fit. I don't really know, man. I've kind of gone a bit blank. Did you? What about you? What do you reckon? Let me have a look at some teams here.
If I was him, like, I get the idea and I get the allure of being a Laker because suddenly – you're the biggest, basically, you're the biggest athlete in the world anyway. But now you get to do it underneath like a giant spotlight and just go, all right, man, like this is me. This is it. I got it. I'm LeBron James. Yep. Los Angeles Laker. Every game that they go to, every game that they play in LA is going to be bonkers. Every game that they play on the road is going to be even more insane. Like over here in New York, like for all the Lakers games, going to Brooklyn Nets games and shit like that. The Lakers games were by far and above like just the most insane ones to go to because everyone is a fucking Lakers fan, it turns out.
It doesn't matter
if you're in New York. Like the Knicks derby games were always fun between the Nets. Like the Bulls games were insane. The Celtics games were insane. Obviously, when the Warriors came by, it was fucking bonkers. But there's a difference of like Warriors fans because like most of them are 8 years old.
Exactly. They're new fans.
Yeah. They're like 8 years old. And then you actually have Lakers fans who are like these fucking crazy, just knockabout lunatics who support the Lakers in New York. And you're like, oh shit. Like these guys are going to start heights. Whereas the Warriors fans are like, we've got school tomorrow. So it's kind of weird. So you can see the allure of LA, but at the same time, I feel like if he wanted to win a ring like next year, you go to Houston. You take a bit of a pay cut for a year or two. You go, fuck it. I'm going to team up with my my buddy CP3 and the fucking beard over there. Maybe if you want to stick in the East, you go to Philly. The whole Celtics thing I don't think was ever going to happen. But yeah, I feel like Houston would have been like my pick if he was really just like, hey, let's really fucking challenge him for a ring this year. Let's get it. Unless he really thought that Kawhi was going to come with him to the Lakers.
Well, man, it could fuck. I mean, that's still possible, right? Like that could happen next year. You just don't know. I mean, I'm sure you hear all these crazy rumors over there. But look, I'm stoked that LeBron went to the Lakers. I think it's good for basketball in a way.
Yeah. So quick, let's fucking wrap up on a couple of a bit of chatting about the Australians getting into the season and a couple of predictions for the year. So, I mean, how do you reckon the Australians will go? We'll go basically team by team. So we've got Ben Simmons and Jonah Bolden, son of Bruce. This is amazing.
Yeah, dude. What, he's just inked a 4-year deal, like $7 million. I heard an interview with him on SEN the other day here in Australia. And there's a lot of hype on him, dude. I mean, it's an exciting team to be on, right? I mean, being in Philadelphia right now, it's exciting, dude. I mean, I think I've got them finishing top three for sure. I think Boston are going to finish on top. Kawhi's fit. I think I've got Toronto 2, maybe Philly at 3.
Yeah. So, I think it's pretty awesome that Ben and Jonah can sort of be like, hey, man, remember when our dads played against each other? That's fucking wild.
Fuck, it's cool, man, isn't it? I think he's the 10th Australian in the league, dude. So it's exciting. So, I mean, where have you got Philly kind of finishing this year?
I'd probably say they're 2 or 3. I don't know how Toronto go with a new coach and trying to figure out if Kawhi works and if Kawhi's going to stay. I think that maybe throws him off a bit kilter here and there. I think Boston is going to fucking walk away with the East, though.
Me too, man. I reckon they're going to slay it.
Speaking of which, I mean, bangers, Baines, the Celtics, I think they're just going to be unbelievable. Like, they just kind of rolled it all back. Because they go, oh, you know what we're adding this year? 2 All-Stars. How do you guys feel about that? Yeah, pretty good.
We were supposed to add them last year, but, you know, we thought we'd give another couple of guys a try. So we just kind of played a big trick on you.
And in the meantime, Jason Tatum turns into like a fucking superstar. Like, that is
Man, weren't they exciting last year in the playoffs?
It was very, very cool to see them do it. It was tough, though, to sort of go, look, we know you're not going to win it all because you're missing your two best players. Fucking hell, this is very fun. Like, it was insane.
For it, right? And our mate Bainesy, man, he's always becoming a bit of a cult hero in Boston.
He is. He's a hero, but he's also like everyone keeps trying to dunk on him, which I feel like is everyone trying to dunk on Australia, and it kind of hurts my soul every time Giannis.
I saw that Embiid tweet.
Yeah, Giannis and Embiid just all the time are just like, I'm going to fucking bank all over bangers Bainesy. And you're like, oh, come on, man.
Not again.
He's just trying to play defense. Just settle down. Speaking of other Australians, Dele and Thon over there in Milwaukee. I mean, do you reckon they
could be a dark horse? It could be a dark horse, I reckon. I mean, depends how the Greek Freak goes, really, right? I mean, if he's going to have a big year, he'll bring everyone with him. But I mean, Dele didn't get many starts last season, did he?
He didn't. He got pushed down the depth chart because I mean, obviously they traded for Bledsoe and they already had El Presidente, Malcolm Brogdon. But many would say, and I'd be the first amongst them, that that might have been the Bucks' problem, is that they are pushing Dele down the fucking depth chart because Bledsoe's not playing any fucking defense. Brogdon's shot was off for half the season and he got hurt. Dele then got hurt heading sort of towards the playoffs. And then he had like one little flash of okay off the bench in the playoffs and that was kind of all she wrote and then they were done. So it was tough. Meanwhile, Thon had like 2 fucking sterling games in the playoffs and everyone's like, oh,
shit. This is a kick maker.
Yes. Kung Fu maker himself. Yeah. Holy shit.
Man, that was hectic.
So I think you might have a point there, but they might be a dark horse. Are you, like, if Giannis like just turns into the fucking MVP, which is entirely possible this year, they could also be like one of the ones that are knocking in that sort of 2-3 spot in the East. Wild.
I hope so, man. There are all these kind of new teams emerging, which is exciting in the East, right? I mean, it's good to watch. And to have 2 Australians, you know, on that team as well. It's bloody awesome.
Pretty cool. Out west, you got Jingles and Kangaroo Kobe, Dante Exum on the Jazz. I think I was talking about this maybe, I think last week on last week's show. Everybody just sort of seems to be ignoring that the Jazz were really fucking good last year. The second half of last year, they just turned it the fuck on. Even though they didn't have Gobert for like, I think, half of that second half. And then once he came back, they were like unstoppable.
Man, if they're fit and healthy, they're going to be good. And I think you're right. They kind of play on that thing where people just don't really put them in the picture, which is what I think they like. I mean, Donovan Mitchell, man, he is a superstar, right?
I love him. He's even if he keeps talking shit about Ben Simmons, I still love him.
How good's that?
I was going to say Joe Ingles. He and Donovan Mitchell's back and forth on Twitter is one of my constant delights. That's fucking awesome. I love it.
Joe Ingles on Twitter, man. He's so funny. And I hope Dante has a good season, man. I hope, you know, he's been pretty unlucky with injuries. So, you know, he just needs, fingers crossed.
Just needs to be healthy, man. I mean, he's the Harden stopper. He was out there in the fucking playoffs locking down Harden for 15 minutes at a time. It was great.
Yeah.
And you've got Patty Mills over there as well with the Spurs. They're in a weird position. I mean, they were pretty good.
This is going to have to be his biggest season. You know, he's, Tony Parker's gone. And, you know, you feel like he's kind of been groomed for the last few years to be the starting point guard. And so this is it, really.
Yeah, it's the weird one where he now been probably like they had him starting for a bunch of time last year next to DeJounte Murray. Now with DeMar DeRozan there coming in at shooting guard, Patty Mills probably becomes like the super six man kind of guy that they bring in.
Yeah, you're probably right, actually.
And it's going to be kind of strange to sort of see if that works for him. Like he is just. He just needs time to settle into a role and then he kicks ass. And that's what happened sort of last year. He was like in and out of the starting lineup. And then once he got settled, he would go on these tears and then he gets shifted around again. You're like, ah, man, Patty's going to go on a funk for 2 weeks. And that's what happened. So I don't know, but I reckon the Spurs are going to be better than people expect just because they're replacing Kawhi.
I was going to ask you that. I know this is you asking me questions, but I'm just in such the habit of asking questions. How do you think San Antonio are going to go this year?
I think they're going to be awesome, man. Like it's they replace what 9 games of Kawhi with presumably a full season of DeMar DeRozan. They still won what 47 games last year.
Yep.
So I think they're going to be all right. I mean, they lose slow-mo Kyle Anderson. I just think they'll be fine. They're the Spurs. They're a machine. They just keep fucking rolling it out. I don't know if there's going to be enough mid-range jumpers to go around between LaMarcus and DeMar DeRozan, but hey, fuck it. You know, see how they go.
Yeah.
Also in the West is fucking Ryan Brokoff.
The man.
The newest Mav, basically, which is fucking weird. Oh, man.
He's due, man. Like, what? He's been in Russia and Europe for about 5 years.
Yeah.
Played for 36ers. No, he didn't play for 36ers. It's exciting, dude. A lot of clubs were kind of looking at him, right? Philly, Washington, Minnesota. I think everyone's just really happy for him, and he deserves it.
Yeah, I think I'm about to mention Mitch Creek as well for the Nets. Yeah. But I feel like they could both fucking help too. Like they're pretty similar-ish kind of like size dudes and, you know, can shoot, can play make a little bit. So hopefully they get at least a little bit of a chance.
Yeah, I hope so, man. I mean, it's so exciting with all the Australians coming through now, right?
Yep.
It's starting to happen in waves. And, you know, it just goes to show that, you know, Brokoff's been around for a while. They're starting to get their chance.
Yep. People are taking notice, which is good. It's the fucking strains, mate.
Too late for us, mate. Not too late for us.
Yeah, I could fucking still launch him from 28 feet, no worries. Just like the fucking mate. Melbourne hardtops. Down there behind the exhibition centre.
We'll get you down to my North Melbourne men's D-grade comp when you get back.
I'll get torched and do an ACL. It'll be awesome. So let's quickly wrap up with some 2018 predictions. I mean, who do you reckon is going to be your favourite rookie outside of Kevin Knox?
Ooh, that's really exciting, man. I like Trae Young. I like Devontae Graham. But I reckon DeAndre Ayton. I got a feeling about Phoenix. There's something about it, right?
Yeah.
There's something in the way.
I kind of dig it. I'm looking forward to the Sex Man, Colin Sexton. That's going to be
Colin Cleveland.
Yeah, he's going to be fucking wild. It's going to be awesome to see his hair See how he goes. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. Michael Porter Jr. too.
Yeah, if he gets to play, I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, that's it too, right?
Poor fucking guy with his back.
Yeah.
Who's your team that's going to surprise everyone? Do you think there's a team out there?
Yes, I do. Give me 2 seconds. I think Toronto are going to surprise. I think a lot of people are thinking it may not work, but I think it might click. I just got a feeling it's going to click sooner than what people think. I think Utah, like we were saying before, are going to be really good too. Barring they keep one of their players. And you never know, man, the Lakers, that they could just go and win it, you know? Like, you just don't know.
That's the tricky thing. I mean, I think one of the things that, like, brought a bit of ire on, I think, either last week or the week before show was, like, you know, trying to figure out whether or not the Lakers will make the playoffs. And it's it's just too fucking hard to count them out just because they've got LeBron fucking James. Like, it doesn't matter if he's got a bunch of spuds around him. He's still fucking good, so they could still do who fucking knows what, which is wild.
Who have you got for surprise? I'm keen to pick your brain on these things too.
My surprise is probably Utah. Like, as mentioned, I think they could end up like the 2 seed or something in the West, like, pretty easily. And we sort of, like, we might turn around in like February or March and be like, they're only like 3 games behind the fucking Rockets, or they might be better than like the Warriors.
Man.
Just because I think that sort of cohesiveness and bringing everybody back and building on like that defense of theirs, that's the sort of thing that you can roll over into a next season and just keep kicking ass and really build up some momentum.
I've got to ask this for Mike, man. What do you see with OKC this season?
So,
I know Mike's going to be listening to this, so I'm keen. What are we thinking?
I think they're going to be, like, as long as Roberson comes back and he's okay, I think they will be better. I think Paul George will have settled in a little bit more. It'll be like an addition by subtraction by getting rid of Melo. And I think their defenses will be a little bit better. They've got Nerlens Noel, which is fucking weird. But I think they'll figure out a couple of their rotations. I think they'll be really good defensively. And if Rusty and Paul can sort of really figure out what they're doing offensively together, I think they'll be pretty good. I think they're sort of in that. I think they'll be better than last year. I don't know if they're a surprise team, but I think they might be better and that might surprise people. So, I mean, I'm a Sonics fan going back like a million years, talking about how like you're a Knicks fan.
Yeah.
Like, no one went for the fucking Sonics when I was a kid. I love them in like 92, 93. Thought they were incredible. And it really fucking burns my balls that Mike's an OKC fan. It's just... it's hard, real fucking hard for me to deal with. But I mean, I love Russell Westbrook more than like just about anybody. The OKC thing still fucking grinds my gears just because it's, you know, still feels like they're meant to be my fucking team, but I can't really get behind them because they stole my team.
Anyway. How does Seattle not have a team, man? It's a crime.
It's now turning into this just actual like slight embarrassment sort of across the league, because it's one of the richest cities, and if you have a fucking team in a rich city, people are realizing that you make a shit ton of fucking money from that.
And you look how big the Seahawks are, and you look at how big their—I forget what their football, their soccer team's called—but it's massive too.
They're selling Sounders, right?
Yeah, Sounders. It's, you know, sport is massive in Seattle, and. Yeah. It's a crime.
It kills me.
Here's to hoping one day maybe they'll go back. You never know. And Mike will be a Sonics fan and it'll all work out.
Nice. And then finally, I mean, who's the team you're most excited to watch next year?
The Knicks, man.
Yeah?
No.
I'll be fucking done with the Knicks. I'm not going to watch another Knicks game after like the fucking third week of this season. Like, I'll watch and go, oh yeah, Kevin Knox, he's pretty good. And then I'll check in on him on the odd occasion, see how Frankie Nicotine is going as well. And then beyond that, I'm not going to watch a fucking second of it.
Teams I'm most excited about are Boston and Philly.
Yeah.
Just young teams in the East. They've both got a bit of swagger about them, which I like. And, you know, you just don't know how far they're going to go. I mean, there's so many stars. They're so young. And they're who I'm looking forward to seeing the most. And the Lakers, I'm looking forward to seeing. I mean, can you imagine if it's a disaster? Has anyone ever thought about that? If it just tanks and flops and LeBron cracks the shits and it all goes pear-shaped? I mean, how entertaining would that be?
It's going to be amazing because there's a better than zero chance that actually happens, right? Like, when was the last time LeBron played with so many young dudes like Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma and stuff? Even though like Josh Hart and Kuzma and stuff like that seem like they're pretty together and kind of with it, they're still fucking young. And LeBron would be just like, what the fuck are you idiots doing?
It would be like that. Like, at the start, he'd be like, well, I know I'm playing with a young team, blah, blah, blah. But as the season goes on and you keep losing and you're LeBron James, the one who's made the finals 8 times in a row, it would start to click a little bit, right? You'd start to be like, this is actually fucking shit. This sucks. We're losing all the time. There's nothing I can do about it. Rondo's injured again. Stevenson's gone loony. McGee is JaVale McGee-ing his ass off and making Shaqton a fool every night. It could go absolutely pear-shaped, man.
Yeah, it could hit like December and LeBron's like, when's that trade? so we can trade everyone December 15th? Yeah, fucking trade everybody. You're all gone. Yeah. Every fucking one of you. Like, I could see that happen very quickly. I'm excited to watch Philly. Like, really excited. I think that's going to be amazing to watch sort of them just get better and better and better. And obviously with Simmons and Bolden on the team, it's going to be wicked fun as an Australian. So that'd be cool.
Absolutely.
Nice one. Any British India shows to plug or anything? You guys have wrapped up touring off the last record anyway, haven't you?
Yeah, wrapped up touring. We're going to do, I think we haven't announced it yet. We're going to be doing some shows in October. Cool. So get around it. And like the Hoops podcast page, nice. Bunch of legends.
Yeah, follow the shit out of the Hoops podcast. It's wicked. I love the punchiness of each video and like how you just skip across stuff like awesomely and nail it. And Hoops podcast is fucking wicked. I love it.
It requires a lot of editing. it's all in the person who does the editing. So trust me, we ramble. As you would know, you'll probably check the length of this phone call and you'll be like, oh my God, O'Gorman's been rambling for an hour and a half. Thanks so much for having me, my man. I can't wait to see you back in Oz. And I love your podcast, dude. We live for it. We listen to it every day. So, yeah, thanks so much for having us on. Means the world.
Thanks, man. And cheers to Matt for coming on for the, talking shit in the off season because I've got nothing better to do at the moment. So,
yeah, it's pretty fucking boring, isn't it, man?
It's tough. So, thanks, Matt. Listen to the Hoops podcast, everybody. And that's it.
Thanks heaps, man.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, Brew, and you're listening to NBA Street, Cheer, Brew.
All right, that is it for this week. Thanks heaps to Matt O'Gorman from British India and Hoops Podcast. Make sure you go check out the Hoops Podcast on Facebook. The page is awesome. Always up to date with a whole mess of stuff, and it's wicked. So go check it out. And that's it for this week. As mentioned, keep following us on the old NBAAustralia.com, Facey, Twitter, all that good stuff, because we've got all the NBA Australia, never forget, off-season editions going up 2 a day. It's amazing. It's also ridiculous. Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, though, House Hats. They're the best band in Australia, I'll tell you that much, apart from British India, of course. Gonna give some props to our guest. extra special thanks to, as always, the legends of Green, Iowa Fascinator, Dozer, Sex Jedi, and the Ramshackle Army for the tunes you hear in NBA Australia. Check them all out at Bandcamp and Facey. And that's it. All right, we'll talk to yous next week, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, Hoosers!